The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
¿Qué tal, amigos y amigas? Gracias por acompañarnos hoy. Mi nombre es Ken Swanson. Este es el Laboratorio AP. Es una edición de vista previa del juego para Chiefs y Chargers en Ciudad de México. En Monday Night Football, I'm hyped. It's a game preview edition, a special game preview edition, getting you ready for a big game tonight. We decided to record a podcast a little bit early, getting you ready for the game. Here to help me talk about this game, first, find him on Twitter, at Chief in Carolina, Matthew Lane. Hello, my friend.
How you doing, Rant Swanson? That was a fantastic intro you had for us. I like how you just glossed right through that. You made it sound excellent. We're also joined
by
my favorite member of the Nerd Squad, Craig Stout, the Renaissance Man. Find him on Twitter at Barley Hop.
That's my favorite intro yet. That really is my favorite intro yet. Thanks, Maddie.
Yeah, it's because Matt called you the favorite.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it. Let's
be real. Craig is absolutely everybody's favorite.
No, that is not the case. Spend a week in my DMs and you'll find out. It is not the case. People have strong opinions about me.
Well, they're hopefully all positive. We have three storylines on offense and defense to talk about. That's what we typically do getting ready for one of the big games. This is the next one, and it's a big one because the Chiefs just are coming off a loss to the Tennessee Titans, really just making it hard on themselves to try to win a Super Bowl. But let's not go there. Let's just focus on today. Let's focus on today's game because that's all that matters now. There's three storylines. Maddie, you wrote a great piece on the Chiefs needing to flood the Chargers' zone defense. You take it away.
Something the Chiefs did a lot last year and the first meeting with the Chargers was just they knew the Chargers were going to be playing their typical cover three, that Seattle Seahawks cover three defense. So what you do with that is you send multiple vertical receivers into one third of the field. You usually do it on the boundary just because it's harder to offer extra help over there. Your corner routes, you get just two vertical routes on one third of the field and you force one defender covering that area to cover two guys. They have to pick one, throw the other guy. It's pretty simple. The Chiefs found some success in the second meeting doing the same thing. They also mixed in a ton of screen passes in the second game, I think, to try to slow down the Chargers' pass rush. But I would expect them to do the same thing again. The Chargers' secondary this year is not what it was last year. It's definitely a step back. They're dealing with some injuries. They're not playing quite as good. This is going to be a perfect game to do that same thing. Get vertical, get multiple guys into that same zone, force these cornerbacks to cover multiple players. Look for the Chiefs on those deep over routes, those really deep, long, angled crossing routes they love to run. They got the Chargers at least five times last year on those. So just routes like that that put multiple receivers in the same third of the field, big money versus the Chargers for the Chiefs in the past.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case. We know that the Chargers aren't going to try and man up against Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. That's just not going to happen because, frankly, no defense should. So they're going to have to try and play a zone defense. They are a heavy cover three team. Like Maddie said, that's the way you beat cover three. You attack it with multiple receivers in that same third of the zone. And Patrick Mahomes is great at hitting that stuff, great at being able to challenge every level of the defense, make you have to respect everything that comes to that side of the field. Yeah, I'd expect them to try and dial up a lot of those concepts this week.
as I was learning the game, we talked a lot. It's about making a player can't be right. A player can't be right. Putting a player in conflict, making a guy, have conflict between, two different choices. You could see the Chiefs, they're probably going to get into their four verts game some this week. And I'll talk about a player who I think could potentially have some success in those four vert looks. My player to watch. We'll get there in a little bit. Next storyline, though. Big news, guys. It sounds like the offense is going to be healthy this week for the first time since week one, since the first quarter of the regular season. The Chiefs' full offensive line will be back. All the pass catchers will be back. Tyreek Hill, his collarbone's fine. Eric Fisher back. Andrew Wiley back. It's time to finally see the full reveal of this offense. Just in time to lose any momentum on a bye week. But time to see what this group looks like, Maddie.
Momentum is a figment of your imagination, Kent. That is what I have heard in the Twitter sphere.
Big facts. Actually, it is. But whatever.
I'm excited. We're finally getting the whole offensive group back together. We haven't had this essentially since the first quarter of week one. We're getting it back. Patrick Mahomes probably looked as good as he's looked all year in terms of how well he was moving around last week. You get that. You get hopefully an improved offensive line play. All your weapons are out there. This is the game where the Chiefs can really come out and make a statement that they are contending with the Ravens, with the Patriots for the Super Bowl. You can't come out and have another rough game. You can't come out with another 2-for-7 in terms of touchdown scores in the red zone. You can't do that. You have to look good this week against the Chargers. You're healthy. This is the time to do it. If they can't do it this week heading into the bye, then you start to wonder what's going on. So it's a big week for them.
It absolutely is. And they've got a very tough matchup with Bosa and Ingram on the ends there. They're really going to have to block well, especially on the outside. But, we just talked about the flood concept and running that against the Chargers. That takes time. Those sorts of concepts take time to develop downfield threats. So they're going to have to try and buy Patrick Mahomes some time. Getting the offensive line healthy allows them to do so much more, both through the air and on the ground. And you don't have to worry about somebody coming in and stepping on your franchise quarterback's ankle and ruining him for a quarter of the season.
Do we have to go there?
Well, it's me. It's me this time. If it was you, we'd still be going. I would expect that we'll see Fisher, Wiley, Ryder, LDT, and Schwartz out there. That may not be the best five, but I do expect that that's the five that we'll see.
If the Chiefs are going to make a run on this season, this game is it's incredibly critical, not just because they need the win. If they can come through this game healthy, going to Estadio Azteca, the Shakira Field, if they come out of this healthy, everybody's healthy, Pat is healthy, they get a bye week to rest up after one game, and then the home stretch. They're running. They're coming hot. They're healthy. They're ready to go. This game is huge. So everyone needs to come through healthy. Pat needs to be kept upright. Let's survive this game. Get a win and move on. Okay, next storyline for offense. Hold on to the freaking football. Patrick Mahomes has thrown one interception this year. You are going to win the turnover battle most likely, or at least be net zero if you just don't fumble the football. I'm talking to you, Sammy Watkins. I'm talking to you, Damian Williams. I'm talking to LeSean McCoy, Mecole Hardman. There should not be this many names on that list. Hold on to the freaking football. This team will win the football game.
And this is a game, like some of these other weeks, especially last week against the Titans, the Chiefs should win this game. The Chiefs have more talent than the Chargers, especially that are able
Don't
to
say
go
that.
Out on the field. This is a game that you should win if you're the Chiefs. It shouldn't be close. The Chiefs find a way to make it close, and a lot of times it's because of a lack of ball security. They come out here, not hold onto the ball tight like they've done just about every week this year. You get a couple fumbles, that turns everything around in this game. And the Chiefs, as we've seen, don't really step up to that adversity super well. They kind of fold for a little bit. They let the other team claw back in when things like that start to happen. If they hold on to the football, this game isn't going to be close. if they start fumbling the ball away, they start making all these mental errors like they've been prone to do, this game's going to be a lot closer than you want it to be. And a divisional game on a neutral field, especially down in Mexico City, anything can happen. You start having these turnovers, that's where things go south.
Yeah, the Chiefs' opponents, I tweeted this out the other day, have averaged 4.2 points per game off of turnovers through the first 10 weeks of the season. They're spotting the opposing offense 4.2 points per game. In their losses, they've given up 28 points total. They've lost those four games by 23. On the flip side, the Chiefs have an average 2.3 points per game off of turnovers, and their losses, 6 points off of turnovers. They can't lose the turnover battle this week. The Chargers will shoot themselves in the foot. We've watched this team long enough to know that they are a paper tiger.
Charger.
They will charger. They will turn the ball over. They will screw up. You can't gift them ways back into this game, because you can let them beat themselves and still win. We're not denying the talent on the Chargers side of the ball, but they always find a way to mess it up. So you just have to take care of the ball. Don't give them those extra opportunities, especially this week.
All right, players to watch on the offensive side of the ball. Craig, start us off.
I'm starting with a guy that was inactive last week, LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy.
Not Mike Pennell. Okay.
Not Mike Pennell. No, we're talking about offense right now.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
LeSean McCoy was inactive due to quote-unquote load management, but in reality, it was because of fumbling issues. Damian Williams came out and fumbled the ball. I do think that the Chiefs are going to have a better run-blocking line this week. With everybody back, with everybody healthy, we may see them lean on the offense, lean on the rushing offense a little bit more, just a little bit, and try and kill off the game if they're up. I think with this offense and with LeSean McCoy active, that they could be able to do that this week against the Chargers front.
For me, and we kind of touched on it a little bit, it's Eric Fisher. Like, this is a tough first game back. But if the Chiefs are going to be slowed down by the Chargers, it's going to be this right here. It's going to be the pass rush of the Chargers. It's going to be Melvin Ingram. It's going to be Joey Bosa coming off the edge. I feel comfortable with Mitchell Schwartz out there. He hasn't been as good as he's been the last couple of years this year, but he's still a very good right tackle. On the other side, you're replacing probably the worst offensive tackle in football with hopefully a league average starter in Eric Fisher. It's not a great matchup for him. Melvin Ingram has given him fits in the past, but it's definitely better than what we've had. And if the Chiefs are going to run the ball successfully, if they're going to give Patrick Mahomes some time to play like Patrick Mahomes, they want to get vertical. They're going to need Eric Fisher out there. They're going to need him to play well. Hopefully he can go. Hopefully this extra time off has done him some good now and he's ready to go, because this is going to be a difficult matchup. But if he plays well, Mitchell Schwartz plays well, I expect the Chiefs to have no problem scoring the ball.
For me, it's Mecole Hardman. It's a guy that's, you know, he's got limited touches recently. It doesn't seem like he has the full trust of this coaching staff quite yet. That's partially why he's been so limited. I mean, one of the games he's had recently this year, I think he got like 11 snaps, and five of them he was just running jets, and the rest of them he was just running vertical. Well, everyone's back. This is a chance for him to just go out and run vertical. He's not going to have a big, well-developed route tree. I think he might have earned a little bit of trust on that. That sticks play last week that turned into a 68-yard touchdown, because, you know, Pat said that's exactly how I wanted him to run. So I think he's kind of starting to pick things up. He's starting to kind of get back into the, you know, maybe starting to earn a little bit of trust with this group, but maybe they utilize him a little bit more. Let him run down the field. Let him go do his thing. And maybe he runs uncovered, because, you know, that's happened on a couple instances this year. You know, Mecole Hardman and getting into these four vert looks and some of these vertical looks, you know, McCole got lost and he's made big plays, and this could be a big week where that could happen again potentially. So I'm looking for that. We'll be back to talk about the defensive side of the football right after this.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, guys. The defense looking to rebound. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They don't have to rebound because they played really, really well except for those big, massive plays that they gave up. Sorry, my fault. But they play I'm going to be bitter about that Titans game for a while. I'm sorry. Like, it's just going to kind of linger. And maybe having to sit here and watch an extra day is making it just fester a little bit longer. But Phillip Rivers and the Chargers offense going up against the Chiefs defense, and they're going to be doing it without Russell Okung. Trey Pipkins will be getting the start at left tackle, a third-round pick from the University of Sioux Falls. It could be a really good day up front pressuring old Phyllis Rivers, Craig.
And it's not only the fact that they're missing Russell Okung. It looks like they're going to miss right tackle Sam Tevi as well, Tevi. I'm not sure. I've just seen that. But so Trent
Scott.
Is he
a backup?
Yeah, Trent Scott will also be starting. And they're already down Mike Pouncey. So Scott Quisenberry is starting.
And Forrest Lamp.
And Forrest Lamp.
I mean, they're already down a full line.
Yeah, they really
are.
But
now Okung's gone too.
Yeah, like all of their best linemen are gone and some of their backups are gone. Listen, if the Chiefs are going to take advantage of a beat-up offensive line, this is the one. Phillip Rivers, I think we all remember him kind of dinking and dunking his way through a lot of his career recently. That hasn't been the case lately. Phillip Rivers has been holding on to the ball a little bit too long this year. It's been uncharacteristic for him. The Raiders got 5 sacks against him last week. I would expect that the Chiefs defense can tee off and confuse through stunts, blitzes, showing pressure, you know, simulating stuff, and trying to mess with this very inexperienced Chargers offensive line that's having to shuffle around like crazy. They can't help everybody. I think the Chiefs can get some good looks against this offensive line.
The Chargers' best offensive lineman very well may be Dan Feeney. Their best offensive lineman that's suiting up tomorrow night may be Dan Feeney. For Chiefs fans, that should sound very good because Dan Feeney, anytime you have watched the Chargers play the Chiefs, has been very, very, very bad at football. And let me tell you guys, it doesn't change if it's not the Chiefs. He has not been very good. That's the best player on the Chargers offensive line. The Raiders took advantage of it. Last week, they were getting pressure nonstop on Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers had no time to shot put the ball out. That's what you hope to see the Chiefs do. I know the Chiefs' pass rush may be a little banged up with Emmanuel Ogbah not playing, with Alex Okafor looking like he might not play. But this is the game where if you want to see the pass rush dominate again like it did against Denver, this is the one to look at, and you need that. You need that from the Chiefs, as we'll get to. The Chargers wide receivers definitely outmatch the Chiefs secondary, but if you get that pressure on Phillip Rivers, you make all of that go away.
It's a big day for Joey Ivey's pass rush, guys.
Hey.
No.
I'm here for the Joey Ivey two-sack game this week.
I kind of hope that would be really funny. that would be funny. And then Spags would just be like, see? I told you! Craig, we're expecting lighter personnel this week.
We are. Steve Spagnuolo in his presser this week, in between having to explain why you don't use run-heavy personnel against three wide receiver sets, had to, you know, kind of drop the nugget that the Chargers love to use light personnel. And I saw that on film. The Chargers will trot out Keenan Allen and Mike Williams at wide receiver, Hunter Henry at tight end, and then Melvin Gordon at running back. A lot of times they like to use the third wide receiver, which in this sense might be Jeremy Adams, Andre Patton. They don't really have a guy right now that they can go to on that front, so they've turned to starting to use Austin Eckler on the field with Melvin Gordon and flexing him out wide. Now, normally the Chiefs and most other defensive coordinators, when they see 21 personnel, go out in a run-heavy defense. That will not be the case. If you see Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon on the field, they're going to treat Austin Eckler like a wide receiver. They're going to bring a safety in to try and defend against him. So we may see less snaps for Reggie Ragland. You may see less snaps for some of, you know, Colin Saunders, Mike Pinnell when he is active this week. You know, it'll be a little bit lighter personnel to try and match up with the speed that the Chargers will definitely be putting on the field. The Chargers throw to their running backs more than any other team in the league. I would expect more of that. They just might try and do it by spreading the Chiefs out and trying to get a linebacker on either Hunter Henry or Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon, whoever it is.
If you want flashbacks to the James White New England Patriots game, this is definitely the one for you to watch as a Chiefs fan, because Austin Eckler is going to get a ton of passes thrown his way. I believe he's had at least two games this year with over 10 targets, maybe even 10 catches. They throw him the ball nonstop. They'll throw the ball to Melvin Gordon too, but Melvin Gordon's getting a lot more screen passes, a lot more dump offs. Austin Eckler's going to run some real routes as a running back, as a receiver. They're going to use him as a weapon. And if you're going to get him matched up against a Damian Wilson or an Anthony Hitchens, it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to keep up. I would not be surprised to see him have a big game. I think the biggest thing is just not to throw out your entire defensive integrity to stop just Austin Eckler. Give up your 5-6 yards to Austin Eckler. Make sure your team is ready to tackle. You can't miss tackles like you did in the Houston game if they're going to throw it short all game long. If you stop them for those 5-6 yards, that's fine. Just don't get burnt deep. Make sure you keep him in front of you. You don't need to see Aaron Jones running down the sideline for 60 yards again on the touchdown. Just keep him in front of these linebackers. Close on the ball fast. Tackle them on the spot. Flock to the football. Play good sound defense. It's something we haven't seen from the Chiefs on a consistent basis. You're going to need it this week, or Austin Eckler's going to have a huge game.
Craig, humor me. What if the Chargers go 22 personnel with
Virgil Green?
With Eckler and Melvin. Is that going to be enough to get the Chiefs in their base?
Oh, yeah. If you see 88 on the field, Virgil Green on the field, or Lance Kendricks on the field, they will probably kick to their base. I would be wary of that because, yeah, that's a lot of speed still on the field there.
That's something I think, and just correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like the Chargers played more base against the Chiefs last year, kind of bucked their trend a little bit and played more base in the last Chiefs-Chargers game where they pulled it off.
Yeah, a little bit, but was there injuries to their backfield there?
I can't remember. For some reason, I thought they went heavier last year. We'll see. I don't know. I'd be curious to see. That's one thing I'm just going to see. I'm just curious if they maybe try to get the Chiefs
trends
back to the base.
Yeah.
Like making Reggie Ragland run at 8,000 feet.
That's a good plan if you can get that.
Right. And I'm just wondering if they're going to maybe.
I don't know. You may see more.
I'm not sure there's a big gap between Reggie Ragland running and Anthony Hitchens or Damian Wilson. So I don't know why you would have to force the Chiefs into the base if you can get the same matchup without it.
Right. Right. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Maddie, this is something you really wanted to talk about, and this is something that should terrify all Chiefs fans. The Chargers have a lot of targets that they can throw the ball to that are big, that can win at the high point of the football. That, you know, if you're going to defend them, you might need ball skills. And the Chiefs don't have a ton of them, do they, Maddie?
No, they don't. Last year, when the Chargers beat the Chiefs, yes, other things happened. The Chiefs' offense wasn't great in the second half, so on and so forth. But the Chargers, Phillip Rivers in particular, was just throwing up 50-50 prayers to Mike Williams, to Keenan Allen, to anybody that was wearing a Chargers jersey. It didn't matter which Chiefs defender was near them. He just started winging up 50-50 balls in the second half, and they came down with nearly all of them. Over and over again, Phillip Rivers was just pushing the ball out there, letting his guy go get it, and they had a ton of success attacking the Chiefs that way. We've seen that happen situationally with the Chiefs this year, the Detroit Lions game, the Baltimore Ravens game. You've seen wide receivers go up in these 50-50 chances, beat the Chiefs' defensive backs at the catch point, and come down with the ball. I would not be surprised, especially if the Chargers fall behind, they can't try to run the ball, control the clock. Maybe the Chiefs somehow find a way to slow down the short passing game. I would not be surprised at all to see the Chargers return to that same kind of offense that just challenges the Chiefs' defensive backs vertically and at the catch point, regardless of the level of separation the receivers have.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers has continued that into this year. The few games that I sat down and I watched with him, that has continued. That's been honestly where he's found most of his success outside of the screen game, outside of, you know, targeting Austin Eckler, has just been throwing it up to Keenan Allen, throwing it up to Mike Williams, letting them win at the catch point. It's honestly not a bad strategy. Keenan Allen has great ball skills. He will catch everything, and he's a great route runner. And Mike Williams is just this huge wide receiver. Chiefs just don't do a good job of timing jumps, locating the ball in air, anything basically at the catch point that they need to do. They're bad at it so far, all of them. So they really have to make sure that they get pressure on Phillip Rivers, like we said earlier. They have to make sure that they keep safeties over the top of some of these guys. Maybe they can affect the play by coming over, because that's where their ball skills are, is at the safety position. So maybe they can get a little more out of them that this week.
With the with the offensive line struggles that the Chargers have had, the things I'm scared about are Phillip Rivers just getting the ball out of his hands really quick to the running backs and making Anthony Hitchens try to make a play in space, or just throwing the ball up to one of his big targets, getting the ball out of his hands early and forcing Charvarius Ward to turn his head around. So those are two things that very well could be things we could come to expect, and things that kind of scare me a little bit, even though the Chargers offensive line is so putrid. Okay, guys, players to watch. Craig, who you watching?
This is a Frank Clark game. Frank Clark looked better in his return than he had at the beginning of the year. We know he had a neck injury, hand injury. He's not able to kind of grip. If you watch actually his sack that he had last week, he's doing it one-handed and he's not grabbing. You can actually see the physical embodiment of what he described right then and there. This is a week that, even without that power, even, you know, changing up the rush style that we've come to know from Frank Clark, this is a week he can still win. He can absolutely win. He can terrorize Phillip Rivers. He can destroy the passing game with him and Chris Jones up front there. They've got to win, because he's going to have to play a lot. They don't have a ton of guys. Tano Passigno can't be on the field when you're having to play against a run-heavy offense. So it's going to be a lot of Chris Jones at end, a lot of Frank Clark at end. You got to hope that they can get after the quarterback early and kind of set the tempo for the day.
The guy for me, and I feel like I just went with him last week, but I think there's another good week for him, is going to be Tyrann Mathieu. Thinking back over kind of what Craig's been saying here, the Chargers, and looking through their roster, they're only going to really use two receivers. They only have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Yeah, they're very good receivers, but outside that, it's going to be Hunter Henry. It's going to be Austin Eckler. It's going to be Melvin Gordon in the passing game. You're going to be able to get Tyrann Mathieu playing down in the box a little bit more. You're going to get him matched up on Hunter Henry, especially if Kendall Fuller's back, ready to play a little bit more in the slot. That frees up Tyrann Mathieu to do a little bit more. This is a game where, especially if the Chargers want to throw up those 50-50 balls, if Tyrann Mathieu gets to lurk around, he gets to hunt the football a little bit more, this is a game where he can really make a play on it. He should be in position to make more plays like we've seen a few times this year, like we've wanted to see more of. This should be the perfect game to do it because the Chargers are not going to run out four or five wide receivers forcing him to play man coverage a ton. Whether he's over the top or down in the box, he should be in position to make some plays this week.
Honestly, you want them to run four or five wide receivers this week. You want them that far into the depth chart there because Travis Benjamin and Dontrell Inman are on IR. They ain't coming.
Do they even have five wide receivers? That's what I was wondering.
I think they only have four. I think they only have four active. And I think one of them is doubtful. So, yeah, we'll see.
This is definitely the game of Jeremy Davis to go for eight catches.
I think he's doubtful. It's Jeremy with a G.
It's still Jeremy.
Jeremy. I like it. Jeremy. His name is Jeremy now.
Yep. His name's Jeremy now. For me, it's Anthony Hitchens, and I think it's for all the things I've been talking about here. I'm terrified of the Chargers running backs in space. He's got to be better. You saw him have some struggles out there against the Packers. He's got to be better, and this is a good challenge for him. Let's make some predictions here, fellas. Craig, who you got this week?
Listen, the Chargers are scary. I can think of about 3 billion ways that the Chargers offense and defense can come out and win this game. But the Chargers are frauds. I mean, they even play in a soccer stadium.
They are frauds.
They constantly fail to meet expectations. I'm telling you what, Patrick Mahomes, with this offensive line against this secondary, is going to put up points. Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw the ball. If he's going to have to throw the ball, the Chiefs are going to be able to make them one-dimensional. They're going to be able to play with lighter personnel and try and crash on screen game and try and make Phillip Rivers hold the ball longer, beat him on the offensive line. I got 35-27 Chiefs, but it's garbage time points for the Chargers. Like, I am predicting a blowout for the second week in a row.
It's a divisional game. It's on a neutral site, which is Mexico City. It's a very high altitude place, and it's a game being played in an area where the Chiefs have struggled to be the team that wants to win the most. They've struggled to be the more physical team, the team that looks like they're playing hungrier. The Chargers have to win this game, and their season is essentially over. They get a divisional game. They don't have to travel to Kansas City just yet. They're going to play them in Mexico City. This is a game that should be close. The Chiefs and the Chargers have been close most of their matchups through the years. It doesn't matter. I'm with Craig. Chiefs win big, 34-20. We're 2-for-2 on the big blowout for the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have to have this. There's no other way to put it. The Chiefs have had their backs up against the wall a few times this year. It hasn't come to fruition for them when they have. This is the final time. If the Chiefs don't come out and play a good game this week, then the season seems like it's going to be lost. If they squeak by with the win against this bad of a Chargers team, it just won't be that much quote-unquote momentum heading into the bye week. They got to come out and play their A game. Chiefs win big. Don't care if we're wrong again about this one because it's happening.
Kid.
Yeah.
By the way, people yell at us when all three of us pick blowout wins for the Chiefs.
I'm well aware, Craig.
Maddie and I are both picking blowout wins. What are you doing, buddy?
What do I feel?
Yeah, tell me how you're feeling right now, Kent.
I feel like this football team is pissed off for greatness. Is gonna mollywop a bad football a football team that
is bad.
That poops the bed on a consistent basis, but. We gotta try something here, fellas. We got to. We have to. I'm picking the Chargers 1,000-0. The Chargers will be up 700 points at the end of the first half, and Booger McFarland will still be telling the Chiefs that they need to run the football. Maybe they should be running the football out of mercy, but he's going to be doing it because he thinks that's a way that they can get back into it.
Do those points happen through just specifically Austin Ekeler?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? I haven't thought that far into the joke.
You should have went with
Chargers 1,000.
You should have went with 7,200. What for? How many feet above altitude it is?
Thought it was 78.
Depends on if you're on the 50 or not.
Chargers by 1,000. That's it. All right, that's gonna be it for this this game preview edition. Thank you guys for listening. We will catch you later this week to talk about this game in a mailbag. It's a little bit different schedule. We have some draft content coming down the road too here in a little bit, but we'll be back after the Chargers game. Catch you later.
Altitude is a myth.